Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into a passing game review here on the Minnesota Vikings. And I'll say, I think they're really interesting. And I think the reason that they're interesting is you have a new offensive coordinator. And again, it's Clint Kubiak, who is Gary Kubiak's son, former offensive coordinator, obviously a long history in the NFL. But there's a couple of things I think are really interesting about some of their breakdown stuff. So let's get to it here. Design pass 26th in the NFL last year, 50, just short of 57%. Yards per attempt, 8.3, really good. That's second league. Touchdown rate, fourth, up at 6.8%. Play action rate, 11th, 28.5% of the attempts. Good splits, 9.6 yards per attempt on play action, 7.7 yards per attempt on non-play action. So that's interesting there. When you look at some of the route stuff, and this is where it gets interesting, 0.74 for running backs, that's 30th in the league last year. 0.13 for running backs, that's 21st. 0.12 receptions, that's 18th. And then 0.97 yards per drop back, that's 12th. So really punching above their weight in terms of how much they were using the running back. We'll get to that in a second. Wide receivers, 2.44 routes per drop back, that's 30th. 19th in terms of targets per drop back at 0.49. 0.34 receptions per drop back, that's 14th. And then 4.75 yards per drop back, that's 8th. Again, punching well above their weight. The tight ends, second most tight end route-centric offense last year at 1.3, 0.18 targets per dropback 17th, 0.14 receptions per dropback 13th, and 1.57 yards per dropback, that is 11th. So actually, all the positions are outproducing their target rate in terms of yards per dropback. I think that's a sign of a decent offense. Where's the thing that I was pointing out and saying, where could it be different? You look at the running backs in 2019. Okay, the 2019 stats for running backs, 0.89 routes per dropback. That was actually ninth. So they went from ninth to 30th in routes by running backs per dropback. Targets per dropback in 2019, 0.19. That was 0.13 in 2020. So they went from 7th to 21st. They went from 7th to 18th in receptions per dropback and 4th to 12th in yards per dropback. So if you're looking for some ceiling stuff for a guy like Dalvin Cook, could absolutely take a turn there for the positive in terms of how they ultimately look. All right, some additions and subtractions here from the offense. They did a lot of, they had a lot of picks. This was a team that was, they're kind of up against it salary cap wise. The Kirk Cousins contract isn't that forgiving in terms of where he's at. So what do they do? And this is pretty smart. Like they have drafted, I believe they traded down to, I think if memory serves, that they were the pick that the Jets actually traded up for in the first round. So they trade down, they actually get three top 90 picks out of it. And that was the Jets came up and drafted an interior lineman and got a whole bunch of in return here. So they get the 23rd pick, the 66th pick, and actually the 86th pick in this deal. They take Christian Darrisaw, a tackle there out of Virginia Tech. They add Kellen Mond with one of those, what I would consider like a luxury pick. They had Wyatt Davis, interior offensive lineman there at Ohio State as well. So I think they do a smart thing. Again, up against it, let's take on some cheap rookie contracts and a relatively flat tier of the draft. That's, I think, excellent process. Kenny Ngannou in the fourth round. So we'll see with him. He's one that he actually had an Achilles injury and tested like an absolute cyborg. So that's maybe a positive there for Cam Akers. So we'll watch that prior. He's banged up a little bit right now anyways, Kenny Ngannou is, but I don't think it's related to that. Amir Smith-Marset, wide receiver out of Iowa. And then Zach Davidson, tight end out of Central Missouri, are the notable additions there in the draft. So they actually, again, up against it cap-wise, what do you do? Well, let's bring in a lot of guys. And they actually had 11 draft picks. So they had one first-rounder, four third rounders, three fourth rounders, two fifths, and a sixth. So really getting after it there in terms of the volume in the draft. I like it in terms of getting out of some of the salary cap stuff. When you look at some of the losses there that they had, they lost Riley Reiff and Kyle Rudolph, the two big ones there. So you're gonna basically put Darrishaw in at tackle in the place of Reiff is what it looks like at this point. So it's interesting in terms of, you know, what their offense might look like. And, you know, you have a team that was, I think, probably better than given credit for, last year offensively. They did rank 29th in terms of offensive blocking last year, pass blocking, that is. So there is upward and onwards. And I'll say, like, the interesting thing about, people knock on Cousins and stuff, and maybe there's other stuff there for Cousins that we don't necessarily know about. But with Cousins, you didn't get this great offensive line performance, and he still performed really well. So I know that one of the things is like, oh, you know, you can get kind of a crummy offensive lineman a crummy quarterback and surround him with really good offensive line, and all of a sudden, like, it's really elevating. He actually did really well without what I would consider a high quality line. So, so that's, I think, the note there. When you look at the offensive line last year, Reiff was a below average tackle, and you had. So I think there's already, you're going to potentially get an uptick there from adding Darrishaw in. You also had some offensive line play that wasn't particularly high quality from their left tackle as well. Brian O'Neill, who 49th out of tackles. So again, that's left and right tackle qualifiers there. Again, Riley Reiff, 36th in terms of PFF grade. So we'll see there in terms of some rework on their offensive line. There is projection that they start, Brian O'Neill's going to play right tackle and Darrishaw probably play left tackle. So we'll see there how that all works out. And then in the interior of the offensive line, that was a little bit of a struggle as well with their guard play. Ezra Cleveland didn't play particularly well there in terms of some of the pass blocking stuff. He ranked 66th in terms of pass block grade at PFF. So we'll see how that potentially moves. They had a couple of other reserve guys. Dakota Dozier ranked 87th out of 92 qualifiers. So he's projected to be a backup behind Olesimeke Udo there at right guard. So then you have Garrett Bradbury at center. So I think there is some potential. You're seeing some change on the offensive line that's probably for the best. We'll hope there that that they can get something out of Darrishaw. Garrett Bradbury was the worst in terms of pass blocking win rate last year. So again, I think that there's, I don't know how much of it's going to change, but I do think that you have opportunities here for them to get better along the offensive line. When you look at the receiving stuff, it's Justin Jefferson and it's Fields, and there's not a ton there that should be a mystery. I think the Jefferson stuff is, I think he's real. And I have very little questions about him. I think that with Thielen, I think you've got concerns along the regression line. When you look at it too, I was watching him, he was interviewed in one of the games. I was watching on Game Pass, and he was talking about, this is the best I felt. You hear all those stories, and the announcers were talking about, like, oh, he had his best season last year. Like, no, he didn't. He didn't really have his best season. He had that in prior years. But 1.86 yards per route run, so still good for him. But again, it's big time touchdown regression stuff. It is 13% touchdown rate. He had 13 red zone targets as well. So when you look at that, 12 basically 12.25% of his targets were in the red zone last year. That's just a really big number. When you compare that to Jefferson, it's 6.6%. So a big difference there in terms of where he was used, and we'll see how that all balances out this year. Jefferson, just an absolute cyborg, 1,400 yards, 2.66 yards per route run, 25.9% target percentage. So you like that quite a bit in terms of a good floor situation, good ceiling situation, all told together. Dalvin Cook, again, they can get more out of him, 1.37 yards per route run. That's really good. I think you can get more out of him in the passing game and use that. I'll be interested in this, you know, next generation of that play action boot Gary Kubiak offense. It'd be interesting to watch for. So I think Madison is an injury away guy. Is you're in the right situation and system for him because it is heavy play action. It's all of those. It's a heavy run scheme, heavy play action, and all of that. So excited for the offense generally, and maybe they get a little bit better in the offensive line and can really see an uptick. Okay, turning to the analytics of Dynasty, real draft position, Dalvin Cook in first round startup pick and super flex draft, so that's notable. He is a median of 3, so he's the second highest actually in terms of where his draft position falls at the position, but his median there is 3. And then you look at the wide receiver position and you have Justin Jefferson, a median of 1.5, so 2.06 in terms of his overall. Again, he's going ahead of guys, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown's up there as well. Just I have essentially zero questions about Justin Jefferson. I do for Metcalf in terms of the overall volume of the offense. I don't think he's substantially better than Tyler Lockett either. And AJ Brown, like, he's banged up in camp. He's had 2 offseason knee surgeries. Like Lamb, you don't know how he's going to progress in terms of, you know, is he just going to be a slot? You know, is he going to just be doing that? Is he going to be outside? Like, we've seen some positive stuff on the outside so far in preseason games, but I think that's really, it is a question. So all of that is to say, like, if you're going to go young at the position, I think Jefferson is the clear choice at wide receiver 1. I could make an argument for taking Tyreek Hill, or heck, even Davante Adams, I think, has an argument, even though he's not going up there. So that's the big takeaways there. I like Cousins quite a bit as just a, I think, the right, you know, he's got a floor ceiling combination. I think that's pretty good. 14th in terms of quarterback rankings. You look at him, he's really locked into this year and next. I know that they want to move on from him, but he's one of those guys for, I think it's really exploitable for fantasy in particular. Like, if you're looking at it, he's really locked into a deal, and it's probably not ideal for them as a team deal. Like, I think they want to sort of elevate the position, but he's in a situation where it's really tough to make the position a lot better than Kirk Cousins. Like, he's a good, solid quarterback. And the problem is maybe you overpay for that, but this is kind of where you fall. It, like there's only so many guys that are truly difference makers. Then you got a whole bunch of guys like Kirk Cousins, and that's not to say Kirk Cousins is bad. I think Kirk Cousins is actually probably better than given credit for. And there is a lot of, I guess, criticism about him in terms of, oh, it's all play action and all this stuff. Like, he does well on play action, and yeah, they run like a decent amount of it, but he's actually pretty good from non-play action as well. And it's not like they're, you know, top half of the league. It's not like that they're the first by an exponential margin or anything like that. So I'm so pretty optimistic here. One, I think a cautionary note that I would have is Irv Smith. So Irv Smith, I just think you're asking for a big uptick in terms of what he was at. 1.3 yards per route run last year. Like, that's fine, but it doesn't really blow you over. You tend to see some of the elite tight ends early on have some elite yards per route run numbers. That's something that we have seen in some of the data that I've been looking at. Only 8.8 target share last year. So again, that's better than Rudolph, but I mean, I don't know how much more uptick there is. Maybe you get some, maybe Tyler Conklin, you know, there's basically like 20% or so of the targets consolidated between Irv Smith, Rudolph and Conklin, and maybe that grows to be in like a 12-8 split in favor of Irv Smith, something like that. But again, there's a ceiling concern that I have there with him. Football Guys projects him as 12th, and I'm a little bit less optimistic on that. Again, it's one of those things, if you're a tight end, it just, I think this is a good exercise to think about. If you're a tight end 11 in terms of cost and you finish as tight end 12, what's going to happen to your cost? It's probably not going up. It's probably going down. And so that's that danger range, the position that I tend to avoid, especially if I'm looking for a breakout when there's not really a big one projected, or reason to really think that there's going to be a big one forthcoming. So that's my take there on Minnesota. And we'll see, you know, the jury's still out on Kellen Mond, and we'll see sort of next year if they want to try and move on from Cousins, how they do that. There will be quarterbacks in the teams in the quarterback market that could be in on him. I don't know exactly how they're going to make it work. It would be the other thing. Like, it's a pretty big cap number. It's like $45 million. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.